Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, the last of a two-part message from evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was presented in November of 2016. The title of the message, Living Sacrifice.
Let's open our Bibles, please, to Malachi chapter 1. It may be a book that some are not familiar with, and so I think understanding it contextually would be a good thing. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn and lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hands, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Names identify people. Depending on the name, you get a response. The response is generally based on the name that is associated with either the position or the accomplishments or the notoriety of that person from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Verse 11, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. He ends the whole passage again, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So there is a response that should be elicited from God's people whenever they are recipients of a great love that comes from a great name. And Malachi spends the rest of the chapter by making two points about that great name. One, God despises being despised. Be careful how you respond to that name. Verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? O priests that despise my name. There's that same word that was used of Esau in Genesis. And you say, oh, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread on my altar. And you're actually saying, wherein have we polluted thee? Here's how you've polluted it. The table of the Lord is despised. It's the same word. How can you treat a God who loves you so like that? And I pose to you the same question. If you are a recipient of God's great love via God's great grace, how can you treat him like that? Like that, Pastor Mark, what are you talking about? I'm talking about five ways that Israel treated God, and the response to that great name was not what it should be. You draw near with your offering, and your bread is defiled. You approach God with animals that are sickly and your sacrifices are deficient. You pollute God's name by desecrating his altar and the things that you offer on it. You think so lightly of me. You even offer it, verse 13, with a spirit of distress and sullen resignation. Oh, here we go again. Got to go back to the temple and offer my offering to the Lord. What? That's how you feel? You even defraud God out of what you promised to him. Cursed be the deceiver that has in his flock a male. And he vowed this to the Lord. God, I will give you my best. You can go all the way back to Leviticus 22. And God said specifically what he would not accept. He can't be lame or blind. He can't be diseased like having the wind or the scurvy or be scabbed. He can't be missing a limb. You go out to your flock and you get the very best because I have great love to you. This is a great name that you have the privilege of knowing. And Israel said, all that God has said to us, that we will do. And they vowed as a nation to give God their best, but by the time Malachi writes, they're going out saying, oh, okay, time for another sacrifice. Oh, this one will do. And they bring it in and it's blind. They bring it in and it's lame. They bring it in and it's sickly. And the priests are complicit in the sin saying, oh, yeah, God will accept that. Oh, I know you didn't have much time to pick it out. That's okay. He'll take that. Oh, yeah. That one's not as valuable to you if it's sick, is it? You can't get as much money or the meat's not as good. Hey, that's okay. Just bring it as an offering. We can kill two birds with one stone. You get rid of a sick animal and we get to worship God with our offering. That's what you think about that name? Whoa, let's go back here. Didn't God choose Jacob? You don't deserve to be in this position. Go back and think about his love and His grace and His mercy to you. Think about the greatness behind that name, and you will offer what's defiled. You will offer what's deficient. You will offer what's desecrated. You will offer it with a spirit of distress. You will defraud God out of a vow that you made to Him to give Him your very best. And you know what's even worse? In verse 9, God says, you're bringing me these offerings that are sorely lacking, but in return, you know what you keep asking me for? God, will you be gracious to us? And God was so sick of it that in verse 10, here's what God said. I wish there was someone in your midst that was so sick of what they saw going on. One of the people, one of the priests, somebody stand up for that great love and that great name. And here's what I wish someone would do. I wish someone would go to the doors of the temple and board them up so no one can come in, because that kind of offering is unacceptable for that great name. I wish someone would shut the doors. And God really has the right to say that. I don't have any pleasure in you. I don't delight in what's going on. What kind of offering are you giving? Is the testimony of your life tonight in some way concerning this God who has demonstrated great love to you and who has a name above every name? Is your life defiled? What? You're in sin. You're living in sin, and you're back here to worship, and you say, it's okay. God will accept it. Board the doors. God doesn't deserve that, and He doesn't want that. Your offering is deficient. What do you mean you're not giving Him your best? It's lacking. You could spend more time in the Word. You could be more devoted to God. Your life is desecrated. The altar of your heart is unholy in some way. And you're thinking, like these priests and people were, oh, that's okay. God will accept that. You know, it's all right. Oh, wait a minute. That's what Esau thought about God. It was a trifling matter to him. It wasn't a big deal. Fine, give me a bowl of beans. I don't care. If it's sin in your heart, it's like, well, it's not a big deal. I know God's great love and that great name should, I'm just kind of saying this in terms of analogy or whatever, it should bring you to the altar tonight to say, I've got to get this clean. I need to make this right. God loved me. He gave His Son for me. He chose me in His grace. How can I give Him an offering that's defiled or deficient or have a heart that's desecrated with sin? How can I come to Him with a spirit of sullen resignation? Oh, okay, got to read my Bible again today. Oh, okay, it's another Sunday, got to go to church. Oh, okay, I guess I wish I could use my money for other things, but I should put it in the offering. Is that your offering? Is that how you feel? Is that how you're approaching this worship thing? Oh, my parents, they take me to church. I have to go to church. That's how Esau, or even defrauding God. Are you defrauding God out of what you vowed to Him, promised to Him? You said, God, save me. I want to give you my life. Okay, question. Look at me. So where is your life? What are you doing with your life? Some of you even made other vows to God. You made it at camp. You made it at an altar. You made it in a service. You said you would serve God. You said you would surrender to God. You said you would obey God. And here they were. Oh God, we promise you, we'll give you the best, but when it comes down to it, you know what happened? The Lord even implies in the text, go ahead. You know those offerings you're offering to me? Take them to your governor. Go ahead. Do you think he'll accept it? And the implication in the text is, it's almost like a rhetorical question. The answer is understood. No. So you actually have more reverence for man's authority and position than God's? You wouldn't take that same sacrifice and offer it to your governor, and every one of you know that. Yes? But you'll bring it to God, the name above all names? That's wrong. You are stealing from God what belongs to him, and that's why he uses the word, cursed be the deceiver here. This is not the term in the Old Testament that speaks of lying. It actually speaks of defrauding someone. Same idea, deception. Defrauding, stealing from someone something that belongs to them. Cursed be the defrauder. Cursed be the man who made a promise to God, and now he's giving him something less than that. So what about your life? Are you offering to God by your life something that is much less than what he deserves? What does God deserve? God deserves our dread, our fear. In fact, he says at the end of the passage, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. He asks these questions in verse 6. Where is my honor and where is my fear or my dread? This is not a shrinking back from God's presence, but it's a healthy fear of his displeasure. Again, verse 8 implying that their fear of human authority, offering a sick lamb to their governor, they wouldn't do that, but they would offer it to God. They were more concerned about pleasing men than God. Well, what does God deserve when it comes to our offerings? Malachi says he deserves two things. Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Notice this, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a what kind of offering? A pure offering. This is the term in the Old Testament for what is clean, uncontaminated, unadulterated, spiritually, physically, morally, ceremonially unclean. You never approached the temple with defilement. If you were sick, you couldn't go in. If you were a leper, you couldn't go in. If it was an animal missing a part or blind, it couldn't be offered. Even if a priest had a disease or some malformity in his body, he couldn't even serve in the temple. God did not allow any defilement. He wants a pure offering. And he said to Israel, if you are not going to give me a pure offering, if you think that is acceptable, here, let me share something with you. I will make my name great outside the borders of Israel with people who don't deserve my grace, but I will give it to them. And guess what? You know what they will bring to me? They will bring me a pure offering. So God deserves a pure offering. And I want to ask you tonight about the purity of your offering. Are you engaging in things that are impure? Is there impurity in your heart? Is your life wrapped up in things that you do throughout the week that make your offering defiled and deficient and desecrated, and you're serving God with the sullen resignation of having to, but it's only because there's sin and guilt in your life rather than a purity which says before God, yes, thank you for saving me. Yes, what a privilege to worship you and to serve you. And you know the day you got saved, you are keeping the vow of God, I give you everything that I am. Just thank you for saving me. God wants a pure offering. And if you don't give it, he will save someone who does give it. But he will honor his name in that way. God deserves one other thing. He deserves what's promised. And that's why he says, cursed be the man who has in his flock a male. It is perfectly healthy. It's what he should give to God. But instead, he goes out and he chooses something less. And he says, oh, what's the big deal? This'll do. I'll tell you what the big deal is. That's how Esau treated God. And God despises those who treat him that way. In fact, you know what? This same exact scenario happened earlier in the Old Testament. Does anyone know where? Long time before this, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Samuel's sons were ungodly men, and they themselves were laying with the women at the tabernacle as they came to worship, and their thinking was perverse, and their hearts were perverse, and God said, I'm going to punish your sons. I'm going to kill them. This is wrong. And the people were bringing sacrifices, and they were taking the best meat before it was even boiled or offered, and all of this was going on. Everything that we see here, defiled, deficient, desecrated. I mean, the whole thing, defrauding God out of what belonged to him. And you know what God said to Samuel? Here's my answer. Those people who honor me, I will honor. Same word that's used in verse 6. Same question that's asked. Where is my honor? In fact, the word honor, it's a word that literally means to be heavy or to have weight. When someone has a position of honor, it has weight. You approach people in here differently than you would approach the president of the United States or even the governor of the island. You know why? Because the position has weight. And God says, literally, where is my weight? You think of me as just a trifling thing that accepts defiled, desecrated. Come on. Don't I deserve more than that? And God said, they that honor me, I will honor. Here we go again. Another use of the word despise. And those who despise me, like Esau did, like the children of Israel were doing in Malachi 1, God says, they will be lightly esteemed. The word means to trifle. In other words, you trifle with God, he trifles with you. That's what you get. Look at Esau. Esau may try to rebuild. I'll tear it down. Esau may think he's going to make something out of his life. Forever, they will be the nation called the nation of wickedness because they trifled with me. So, giving God what he deserves is what is promised. All right, Lord. And here's what all of us should have promised to God. This is where it all comes home. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, what a great love. In fact, at the end of the previous chapter, the Bible says, of him and to him and through him are all these things. God's love is incredible, and to him be the glory. I beseech you now, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Here we go. What does God deserve? Purity. Holy. Here we go. What does God deserve? When it's holy, it pleases him. It's acceptable to him. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And be not conformed to this world. God doesn't delight in that. That's deficient. That's lacking. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot for God. That's like offering what's blind or lame or no. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And my friend, tonight your offering to God should be the very best that you can give. Nothing lacking. And in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, And Abel offered unto God. Here we go with another Jacob-Esau scenario. And Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And have you ever thought about not the next phrase, but the one following? It says this, and God himself testified of that gift. And he accepted it. And Abel is in the Hall of Faith chapter. You know why? Because God's great love, he chose me, and God's great name, he deserves the very best. And you know what? If he requires a blood sacrifice, that's what I will give him. And he goes out, and he gets the best lamb out of the flock, and he offers it to God. And Cain brings an offering too, but his offering trifles with God. I'll just bring God fruit. Hey, it's my best fruit. That's not what I want. And Cain got mad at God, and God was mad at Cain because he treated God just like Esau. But Abel said, I'm going to give God the most excellent sacrifice I can give. And God said, I will testify to that. I'll even record it for all ages in Hebrews 11. That's the kind of offering that I want. So tonight, sir, ma'am, message for you, message for us. If you have experienced God's great love, and you are his child, and bear his great name, then God will be satisfied with nothing less than the very best out of your life. So tonight, if sin hinders, if you're polluted, if you're defiled, if you're giving what's deficient, if you're keeping back from God what belongs to him, tonight, bring an offering that is worthy of his name.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes in the second of a two-part message, Living Sacrifice, from evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was originally presented in November of 2016 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.